Hello, folks. Welcome back to another exciting installment of our new recurring segment here at Grit and Glitter. Dear Ziggy. No, there's no jingle yet. We're still working on the music.
We're getting there, though, and that's exciting.
We're working on, figuring out the logistics. What rhymes with Ziggy?
You have to make sure. Yeah, it's a lot of fine tuning.
Biggie. I don't know how you work Notorious B.I.G. into the lyrics, but
we could.
Siggy, maybe we don't really want to promote smoking here.
Yeah.
Figgy, Twiggy, yeah. The model. This is why we don't have a theme
song makeup.
Yet. Also, I'm not a musician, but the experts will figure it out.
Yes, some people do that for a living. We can only speculate.
And we will find them.
Yes. We have needs.
So, this is our new recurring segment. Every week here on Grit and Glitter, we are joined by beloved independent wrestler Ziggy Haim. She answers your mail.
Yes, I love it. I'm here. I'm ready.
We've had two installments of this episode previously. I assume both went swimmingly. People are thriving.
I hope so. Everyone has the best hair. Everyone is so confident, living their best life.
Our letter comes to us from my home country of Canada.
Amazing.
Dear Ziggy, I'm a lifelong wrestling fan, but I was never the athletic type when I was younger, so being a wrestler didn't seem like something that was ever going to be within my reach. I'd love to give it a try now, but I'm almost 40. Is it too late?
Absolutely not. I don't think it's too late for anyone, and I think that there's really, like, wrestling is so vast and has so many different people, so many different types of people from different backgrounds that have been successful. So it's really just about trying it, I feel like. I was never super athletic at any point. I got into wrestling because I did pole dance for a little bit, and I just got really jacked and then kind of impulsively tried out pro wrestling, and it worked. But no, absolutely not. I think that there's so many avenues in pro wrestling. It's just worth trying if you are willing to try out the bumps and think that you could do the basics, then 100%.
I mean, the big name people often seem to come to is Diamond Dallas Page, because wasn't he in his late 30s or something
when
he started wrestling?
He was, yeah. He was definitely, like, in his at least mid-30s when he started, and he's got DDP yoga, and he was incredibly successful. So definitely, I don't see it as an age thing, more as just a if it works out thing. Just trying it and being able to do, I guess, that basic intro fundamental, and you can really work from there and just get creative.
Yeah, I mean, it might be harder starting at age 39 than it is starting at age 19.
Sure.
But, I mean, that's true for a lot of things. If you have the desire, if you have the commitment, if you have the, if there's a will, there's a way.
There's also a benefit of just having the lineage of having other experience in life that helps a lot. There's good sides and bad sides, but there's definitely no reason to not try.
Yeah, I mean, me personally now, I've never aspired to be a wrestler. I don't aspire now to get in the ring and do that. Mm-hmm. But part of me does want to go to, like, wrestling school, even if it's just for, like, a couple of classes or something, just to know what it's like and to say that I've done it and to, like, because how can I feel like it.
Yeah, no, I
feel like it would make me appreciate everything you guys do that much more.
Yeah, I feel like that's something that, forgive me, I forget who it was, a Joshi wrestler goes, like, does it as an extracurricular activity.
Oh, Emi Sakura.
Yes, Emi Sakura does it.
Does, like, wrestling classes for, like, middle-aged housewives.
That's so cool. I feel like that should be something that should be more, like, just, like, a pop-in class, something that you do to just, like, teach and see how it goes. I feel like that would be helpful, and I don't see why not.
All right, next time I'm in Pittsburgh with some free time, I'm going to rope Emily Fear into coming with me, and we'll go ask MV Young to run us through the drills.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely hurts, but, like, if
I'm already hurting. I'm hurting just thinking of it.
But, like, yeah, I can definitely see how just trying it out for anyone, going to, like, in learning sort of like an intro class, nothing even like there really isn't anything that's like an introduction to pro wrestling class. I feel like there should be, where it's like, you gotta bunker down, we're learning this for like the next like 6 months to year of your life. Where now, yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like there should be something where it's like, here's a little bit of the basics, maybe you like it, and you're kind of doing activity.
Yoga, that's so 2010. That's out the window. Now,
yes, absolutely
brutalized. Now we're doing arm drags and forward rolls.
Yes, yes, arm drags. We should just be giving everyone arm drags, forward rolls. Get that vertigo out of your brain.
Thank you, Ziggy, for joining us once again. Listener, if you need help anywhere, world of the world, if you need advice about wrestling, advice about life, about love, about your animals, about, I don't know, music recommendations,
yes,
or movie recommendations, or what sick tattoo you should get next.
Yeah, I'll help you. I have advice. I have an opinion, and I will give it.
You can reach us Twitter or Instagram at GritGlitterPod, or you can email us GritGlitterPodcast@gmail.com. You can write your letters, or you can record a little voice memo on your phone. Send that over. We'll play it on the air. It's totally anonymous, as you've heard, so no no fear, no shame there. Well, I mean, I'll see the email, but I'm sure there's ways to get around that.
Yeah, use a burner phone.
I won't tell Ziggy who sent these mystery emails.
Yeah, I won't know. Don't worry.
Send them over, and we'll be back next week with another segment. Hello, kids. This is Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. My name is Harley Vasquez. This week, we are doing a special look at a brand new Joshi promotion entitled, wait, let me check away. Dream Star Fighting Marigold. Or just Marigold. You can just call it Marigold. To that extent, I am joined this week by two very special guests here on the show. First, returning to the show, you know her, you love her, Kristen Ashley.
Hello, happy to be back.
Hey, she's here and she worked out her technical difficulties. Everything's great.
Turns out I had to get a new version of Skype, so I am here.
Literally every time.
Yes.
Kristen is here. Kristen, remind our Laura listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do, and your Joshi love.
Oh, yes. I love Joshi. I am a PWI contributor. I'm a columnist there, and I also sit on a bunch of committees. I am former owner of Bell to Bells, but that might be coming back soon. I also do a lot of women's wrestling stuff over at USA Today Sports, so anything to do with women's wrestling or Joshi, I'm there.
And also joining us this week, very exciting, first time ever on Grit and Glitter, her name is Adriana.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Tell our listeners, since this is your first time here, tell Kristen a little bit about yourself.
My name is Adriana. I am a wrestling fan, but more importantly, a Joshi enthusiast. I have a blog called Heartbreak Wrestling, where I just write about anything that I find fascinating. I have like a stardom guide on there that I have on there to help new Joshi fans getting to Joshi. So.
And you were saying off air that you're pretty familiar with most of the women on the first Marigold show.
Yeah. All the stardom girls, and that's about it. The actress girls and like the foreign talent. This is my first time watching them wrestle.
Yeah, Kristen, actress, it's a name I know, but it's never really been at the top of the conversation list, I feel like.
No, I mean, a lot of the women from actress float everywhere, and you could say that about a lot of places, but no, it's kind of on par. well, it's sort of below Ice Ribbon, right? It's sort of like, I mean, I wouldn't call it an indie promotion, but it's a smaller Joshi promotion for sure.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about Joshi promotions, there are a few that are on the scale of something like a Stardom, just in terms of financial backing, in terms of running the huge venues, that sort of thing. So that's what I think got a lot of people really intrigued about Marigold when it was announced, was, oh, here's a promotion run by the guy who used to run Stardom, presumably with comparable money, and what's this going to look like, and how's this going to shake down?
Yeah, I think the backing has a lot to do with it. You know, they've been around only a few actors, like a few years less than Stardom. They've been around, but a lot of their titles are vacant, or they don't have like as many shows as Stardom. So yeah, they're not as active, and of course Stardom has all that money. So
so we're here to talk about the very first show from new promotion Marigold. A little bit of backstory. Ross Yogawa, he started out as a ringside photographer for AJW at the age of 21. This was in the late 70s. Eventually, he worked his way into a backstage role at AJW as a talent manager, working in PR, and also on the creative side. 1997, he left AJW to become the president of Arjun, but Arjun closed 6 years later. So fall 2010, he founded Stardom with wrestlers Nana Takahashi and Fuka Kakimoto. Rossi runs Stardom for 9 years, straight through to 2019, when Stardom is purchased by Bushiroad, who also owns New Japan. They keep Rossi in charge, control, full of creative everything, up to February of this year, when they fire him due to claims that he has been attempting to poach Stardom talent for a new promotion he's starting. 2 months later, he announced a new promotion he was starting featuring a bunch of Stardom talent. So it's kind of hard to beat the allegations, but that's where we stand today. Dream Star fighting Marigold. The very first show was entitled Fields Forever. It was live from Korakuen Hall in Tokyo. 1,500 people in attendance, streaming on Wrestle Universe with both English and Japanese commentary. So this was our first real look. Like, we had some backstory about Marigold going in. We knew little snippets they had announced here and there, like age restrictions on roster members. They announced 4 championships that are coming to the promotion: the World Championship, red belt; the United National Championship, a white belt; the Twin Star Championship, which will be tag titles; and the Super Flyweight Championship, which is kind of like the high-speed or cruiserweight title for women under 121 pounds. Now, that said, none of those titles really were in the conversation on this show. This was kind of just like, here's our roster, here's a look at some of the top names. But none of these matches were tournament matches or qualifying matches for a title shot down the line, which is kind of interesting. It's kind of up to us to infer who might be in the conversation for the white belt or the red belt, things like that going forward, because none of that was official.
Yeah, I actually think, honestly, it's, for me, it's better that way. There's so many women from different promotions or with different experience levels that I think it would be too much to immediately throw in a belt match or a tournament match. I think this is a really good debut show, and it's sort of easing people in. There's history here, but it is all over. I mean, these wrestlers are coming from all over. And so I'm kind of glad that they didn't. They definitely spelled out some rivalries that will eventually probably go there, but I'm kind of glad they didn't throw in a lot of title matches or anything.
And then I think the main event kind of like told us what the future would look like, especially when all 4 of them kind of held the belts themselves. I think it kind of showed like the main event scene looking forward. So I thought that was pretty cool too.
We'll talk about each of the matches individually, but just to start, Adriana, overall thoughts on the show, on the presentation, on the graphics, the color scheme, everything.
I really like the aesthetic and like the visuals of the show overall, like the promotion overall. I think like the marigold and then like the yellows and oranges and bright colors, I really love. I just, it feels different from like any other Joshi promotion out there right now. And like the production is also crazy. Like they went crazy with like the lights and like everything, like the ring and stuff. I just thought it looked really, really cool, and I'm excited to see how future shows look. But yeah, I really adore the aesthetic of the promotion reel so far.
Yeah, I'm very much a like twee. I love the colors. I love flowers and more nature and more like quote unquote girly aesthetics in general. So I always love when Joshi promotions really lean hard into like I love this, the Artist of Stardom title belts in Stardom, how they're three different colors. And how roster members will sometimes bicker, like, no, I want the pink belt. No, I want the pink belt. Whereas in American wrestling, it's so often so, like, gritty and dark and, like, masculine. And I'm just like, get over yourselves.
Yeah, as far as aesthetic goes, it was kind of cool that they had the banners on the balcony. It's a callback to, like, older shows. I thought that was really cool. They played it smart. And they used Noah refs and Noah rings, so that, you know, I'm sure Rossi pulled some relationship strings and got that going, and probably as well as, you know, DDT and all them. But I think they played it smart, and I think the production right off the bat was really great. There's always the chance of it being the debut show and things, you know, logistics just not working, audio, or we've seen all that. And it was so smooth and flawless. And like you said, the colors were great. So it was nice and bright. So yeah, I enjoyed it.
Stardom always stood before, especially before Bushiroad bought them, Stardom always stood so much alone, right? I always thought of them as being the WWE of Joshi Wrestling because they didn't really talent share. They didn't really work with other companies. They had their own streaming service, their own website. They did like all their own things by themselves. So when they announced that they were doing this show and that it was going to air on Wrestle Universe, home of TJPW and DDT, that was like kind of shocking to me that they were like playing nice with other people and with other promotions, and then to have like wrestlers from different freelancers and stuff come in, people who aren't exclusively contracted just to Marigold, because for Stardom, again, it was like you'd get the foreign talent coming in and doing tours here and there. But it was very rare that you'd see somebody from an Ice Ribbon or somebody from like a TJPW or different company come in for a show or two. It was like, no, it's just Stardom talent only on these shows.
I really love that they're working with other companies, because now we have Saray doing a run. So that's pretty sick. And I also really like that they're on Wrestle Universe because it's so easy to watch. And I think the accessibility of it all will definitely get some more eyes on the company. So I think it's really smart that they're, you know, working with like Noah, having their ring, hosting some of their talents. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, because like I said, this was live and it had English commentary, and that's very unusual. Like Stardom rarely has live shows, right? Most of their shows are kind of taped in advance and don't have any commentary. So I watched the show with a free 1 week trial or whatever from Wrestle Universe. So it's a bold move, and it's not just for the big shows, because they've already announced that their next two shows are going to be streaming live on Wrestle Universe as well.
Yeah, I like it. It's much more accessible. I know towards the end here, Stardom has been doing pay-per-views, but of course, when you have a streaming platform like Wrestle Universe, it's so much cheaper. Pay-per-views tend to add up. But, you know, what's really cool is that this is joining a banner of Noah, of TJPW, and doesn't necessarily mean they're going to work with them, but, you know, on a bigger level. But it's just really cool that now, you know, for instance, I can go back and watch it whenever I want to. It is a huge move. And I guess I'm not super surprised, because Rossi has to get some sort of leg up on Stardom, but It's really cool. I like it.
So our opening contest, it is Victoria Yazuki taking on Nani Takahashi. Takahashi, 27-year veteran. She's been around. She's done it all. She co-founded Stardom with Rossi. Now she's co-founding Marigold with Rossi. In the build-up to this match, at one of the press conferences, she hinted that she might be retiring sometime soon. And Yuzuki kind of took offense at that and said, no, like, I want a shot at you before you retire. Yuzuki's only been wrestling 6 months. She was the youngest woman on this show. But she won the 2023 Stardom Rookie of the Year tournament. And the fact that she's competing in the very first Marigold match against a legend like Takahashi, really, you know, that straight up tells us, like, they have big plans for her. They think that Yuzuki is going to be a big player someday. You know, she's not going to be in the white belt or red belt conversation probably this year, but she's definitely going to be somebody that they build Marigold around for the next couple of years.
I'm so shocked. Like, I was so shocked when I like, remembered that Yuzuki's only been wrestling for, like, 6 months. Because, like, she has, like, the confidence of someone beyond her years. And, like, her new look is so sick. Like, she has blonde hair. She has, like, the big gear. And I just thought it was such a good showing for her. And it was so important to be, like, this is our future. You know, we're going to put a lot. Like, she has the number one jersey. The number one jersey. So I also thought that was cool. And I'm just really excited to see what she does. Because I think she could be a major player for them going into the future.
You know, it's called a passion injection. I mean, quite literally means injecting passion. And it's a typical debut match. You just want to show it off and get the fans going, and I think it was a really perfect one because Yuzuki is so ready to prove something. She's completely loud throughout the match. She's, you know, she's just, I mean, she's not giving up. And Nane is not somebody to mess with. She's brutal. She's got those judo skills. But Yuzuki was not willing to give up. And so I think it was a perfect opening match. Not just that, but I think it also shows here's somebody who has years and years and years of experience, and here's somebody who's new. And that sort of, to me, that shows this is the wide range of people we're going to have. I think that's great.
And it wasn't a particularly short match. It was longer than three of the matches on the card. So, again, it shows that Yuzuki's hanging in there. She lasts 14 minutes before she falls to a refrigerator bomb from Takahashi. But she's got what it takes to keep up, even if she doesn't have what it takes to get the win quite yet. Post-match, Takahashi offers her a handshake, but she slaps it away. So, that's interesting too, right? Like, another question I have, is Marigold going to be... It's part of a bigger question, which is how similar is Marigold going to be to Stardom and how different, right? That's the big questions we have going forward. Stardom doesn't really have, like, a ton of, like, classic heels, right? You have, like, a Wedo Tai, and that's kind of it for the most part. Queen's Quest sometimes are, like, arrogant and, like, you lean heelish, but they're not villains in the sense of how North American audiences think of heels or, like, clear-cut villains. So it'd be interesting to see how that shakes down here. Like, does Yuzuki kicking her hand away indicate that she's going to be, like, you know, a bit more of a heel, a bit more of a chip on her shoulder, especially because she lost the first Marigold match ever? Or is that just, like, just a thing and it won't really, you know, we're not going to be that black and white with our lines.
I think I saw it more like, maybe not like, yeah, like a chip on her shoulder, but more like she wants to prove herself and, like, prove she can be Nane, like, down the line. And I think it'll, like, motivate her in the future to, like, get those big wins. So I didn't see it as, like, a heel thing, just more like a frustrated, but she'll use it as motivation going into the future.
I've been following Stardom for the past couple of years, so I haven't seen any of Yuzuki before. What was she doing in Stardom before this? Was she in a faction?
She was in the most babyface group. She was in Stars.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mayu's cast of, like, ultra babyfaces.
Yes, she was in Stars, and she was, like, they're, like, because they, Stars hadn't recruited a rookie in a while, so she was, like, they're, like, rookie of the group.
Oh, yeah, because Hanan and Hina and Rina are all, like, adult now. They were the babies when I was watching.
Yeah, like Hannah's like a grown woman now. She's like mini right now.
So Takahashi goes on the board with the first win in Marigold history. Our second match of the night, Miku Aono versus Nao Ishikawa. Aono was one of the top names in ActRes before she came over to Marigold. And Ishikawa's been a bunch of different places. She was in Ice Ribbon. She's kind of like a classic freelancer going around to different places.
In my opinion, this was sort of what you would call a grudge match. You know, Nao wanted to help launch Marigold. She wanted to be a pillar. And then Miku comes in later and is like, nah, and pushes Nao, you know, off the debut poster, down the roster, and Nao is not happy. She's part of the original seven, and now somebody comes in and sort of takes the spotlight. So Nao is not happy, and they used to tag together in Ice Ribbon back in the day. So I think this match, there's possibly the most potential for a rivalry, not just because of the backstory, but also because they fought, like, they were done with each other as friends. I think this was probably one of the most interesting for me as far as in-ring storytelling. They were both showboating, both very clear, clearly trying to come up as top dog, and I really like this one. I think the idea of an ideological showdown is a really cool idea for a match. I don't know if that's something that's happened in the past. I'm not sure, but this was really good for me. This had a lot of creative storytelling.
It's interesting to me, the idea of the original seven, like the first seven who joined up with Marigold at the first press conference, already feels kind of like a bit of lore in Marigold history. Like on this right away, we're two matches in, and we had Yuzuki and Nao both wearing sort of Marigold colors. Like Yuzuki's in all yellow, Nao's in a lot of orange, and it feels kind of like the home team versus the away team. And we'll get to that in our next match as well. But yeah, it really felt like we've got our core seven, and they're like the Marigold, like the locals, and then everybody else are the out-of-towners, the like local gaijin, who are coming into town, and people are kind of picking sides between these two groups, which is an interesting development, I guess.
I think it's interesting that you say that, because we didn't really get to see much of the original seven interact with the ActRes girls. So I think it's interesting you say that, because I'm excited to see them like face off and have promos and see what kind of stories they can tell with that.
Do you think, like Stardom, we're going to end up with a lot of factions? Or is it going to be more, you know, like more like WWE or AEW, where you have a couple of groups here and there, but for the most part, people are predominantly singles?
I was literally thinking about that earlier, because like Stardom was so faction heavy, but I don't know how Rossi's going to handle it here. The roster is big enough to have some factions, but it's just about making those connections with the wrestlers and how they all group into a faction. So I don't know, because like Noah has factions, TJPW doesn't really have factions. So I don't really have much to base it off, considering like where they are on Cyber, on what's it called? What is this called? Wrestle Universe, those brands. So I don't know. We'll see. I would like to see like a couple factions. I don't think it needs to be as faction heavy as Stardom, but a couple would be nice. I would like to see it.
Yeah, I mean, Skabon launched like a year ago, and they did a similar thing. Like right from, I think even before the first show, they said, here's our groups. These three were in this group. These four are in this group. This is this group. Skabon does it kind of, because like they're kind of, it's like gang warfare. It's implied like they're all like rival street gangs. And that's kind of where it comes from. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've got Rossi's, he clearly likes his sports kind of thing. Because all the girls here have their own jerseys and their own numbers, too, right? So the idea of splitting up his wrestlers into this Queen's Quest and this is Gazai, I think he like really likes it from like the rival baseball teams.
Yeah, I mean, I like the faction stuff in Stardom. I think it provides more stories rather than, you know, it's like, I think of Momo. That was a really huge story. So I think, I mean, I like factions, but I think, in my opinion, Marigold probably wouldn't start off that way. I mean, there's only, what, 13 official roster members that aren't rookies. So maybe down the road, I think, I don't know, I think Stardom started them pretty early. But I don't know that they would do it. And knowing Rossi, though, probably down the line, it just does create for a lot of different stories.
So do we just continue the flower theme, and each faction is named after a different flower? You have the Violet faction, you have the Tulip faction.
The Tulip faction. The Daffodil faction. That's funny. Yeah.
Our third match on the show, Mirai versus Chiaki. Mirai did it all in Stardom. White belts, tag belts, trios titles. Won the Cinderella tournament twice. Chiaki, not as big of a resume, but big presence for sure. Like, she implied in interviews going into this show, you know, without like breaking kayfabe, she basically said that she wants to be the top heel in the promotion. That's kind of how she implied. And I got that impression just from the way she walked out. Like, the way her look reminded me a lot of Kagetsu. In that sort of sense. So I don't know if there's anybody else around for her to form her own little Oedo Tai, but right away she's got a lot of presence to her, I think. But Mirai was like the first huge pop of the night. Like, people went nuts for her. The ring was flooded with streamers. Again, I haven't watched Stardom in a couple of years. So Adriana, tell me about Mirai.
Mirai is a weird one to me because she was very successful in Stardom. She won the Goddess belt. She won the Artist belt. She was the Cinderella winner twice in a row. And she was the Wonder Stardom champion as well. So she's very accomplished in Stardom. And the crowds always seem to like cheer for her and be loud for her, even in Stardom. So she definitely is a popular face, and she's very likable. The thing with Mirai is I'm always waiting for her to reach that next level, even though she's achieved so much. And I think here in Marigold, she might cross over and be like that top star I think she can be. But she has, like, in Stardom, she was doing pretty good, but I think a change of scenery for her was needed.
You think these two are going to definitely be in the conversation about the new Marigold white belt?
Definitely Mirai. I think she definitely does have stake into that. Chiaki, I don't know about her. I actually don't know much about her. This is my first time watching her wrestle, and I was like, she's so cool. Like, her swagger was so sick. Like, I love her smile. She just looked like so, like, she was just up to something all the time. I just loved her.
And Kristen, this one is really billed as like a battle of powerhouses.
Yeah, and here's the thing. When Mirai came out, I didn't even recognize her. She, I know commentary had worded it weird, but she looks so lean. And her hair is totally different. And I thought, wait a minute. What? Who is that? And she looks so good. But this, despite being leaner, it still was very much a showdown of strength. They did not hold back, and quite frankly, this was my second favorite match of the night. Chiaki has, she's got like 2 years under her belt, and it's at Act Russ. I mean, she doesn't have a ton of experience, but she really showed out in this match. She has an incredible spear. There's so many slaps that made me cringe a little bit. You know, Chiaki actually looks very clean and charismatic, in my opinion, for somebody who's only got 2 years under her belt. So this, for only being 11 minutes, I was tied to this match. I was glued to it. It was really great.
Our fourth match of the night, our first tag match, it is Mei Sakurai and Zeta Steel taking on Nagisa Nozaki and Myla Grace. Also our first look at some Gaijin talent on the card. We have Myla Grace from Ireland, did a bit of work in NXT UK back in the day. And Zeta Steele from Virginia, out of America, she currently wrestles for MLW. So, yeah, this is a tradition that, again, Stardom did a lot. Like, people like Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter and Rachel Ellering all did tours of Stardom. It's really fascinating. I want to know why and how these people got chosen. Like, again, like, zero offense meant to Zeta Steele and Myla Grace, but they're not like the most talked about names around, you know. I don't know too many people who are talking about Zeta Steele all the time when you talk about like American women to keep an eye on. I don't think I've seen any of her matches before this, so I'm very fascinated to know, like, why her? Why did she get plucked out of Virginia and flown over to Japan for this? Why did Myla Grace? I don't know. I guess Wasi's just got certain people cross his radar, and that's just or recommended maybe from somebody or somebody else. Kristen, were you familiar with either of these two women?
Yeah, I used to be, well, I still am the biggest NXT UK fan ever. They're both fairly new, but as I understand it, they're doing tours of Japan. And that's a very big thing for Stardom. It was bringing in people, helping them train over there. The training over there is, it's so much. There's so much training to be done. So I don't know how long they'll stay there. But as far as I know, they're in a tour. So that's great. I mean, they are fairly new. I think Myla has 5. Zeta doesn't even have 1. I mean, and you look at Nagisa, and she's got 17 years or so experience. I mean, that's huge. So I think this is a good space for them, even if they're not necessarily on a tour, to learn from the best. And, you know, they obviously are not experienced in the ring. I wouldn't say they're terrible, but, you know, they're working on it. And they brought something completely different, I think. There's a lot of, I don't know if I can swear, but shit talking involved in this match that we didn't really see in previous matches. So, yeah, I'm familiar with them, but they haven't really wrestled much, and maybe that's a good thing because they're there to learn.
And they had them go bell to bell. This went the full 15-minute time limit draw when everything was said and done. Adriana, what did you think of this match and of the decision to give us a time limit draw in this one?
I thought this is, when I say weird, it's not like a bad word. It's, well, okay. I think it was the weakest match on the card. And also, I didn't get why they did the draw. I don't really know why they did this draw or who they were protecting here. I don't think it needed to go the full 15 minutes, especially when you bring over, like, non-Joshi women over and then have them wrestle in a Joshi promotion and then be like, your first match is a draw. I don't know. That was kind of crazy to me. But I think they two did good. I do like Myla Grace. I thought she was fun. I love her look. I love her style. I think with some, like, more matches and more reps, she could definitely be, like, one to watch. I don't know why. I just thought she was really neat. And Zeta had a lot of personality, which I think will help her stand out. Stand out to the crowd, definitely make her memorable. But that being said, I don't know why I went the full 15. I don't know why it was a draw, but whatever.
Yeah, from what I've seen online, you're not being controversial. I think most people agree with you that this was the weaker of the matches on the card, and it's just 50 minutes is interesting for sure. Very, very curious to see what where these four end up on our next two shows, if they're paired up together again, if we, you know, maybe you split them up and you do two singles matches coming out of this one, something like that. Next match on the card, another tag match. Natsumi Shozuki and Misa Matsui taking on Amore Kuki and Chika Goto. I want to say this was all former Actres girls, I think.
It was. Yeah, they were.
Okay, four former Actres talent over here showing off how they do things in AWG. Natsumi Shozuki was the Actraz champion when she left the promotion, but she didn't factor in the finish here. It was Kuki pinning Matsui with a top rope splash in 12:30. Full caveat, I didn't get a chance to watch this one. So, Adriana, you fill us in.
I'm trying to remember how it went. I just remember that I really liked it because it was my first time watching these four women wrestle. And I thought it was really cool that this is like their wrestling debut, because in Actress Girls, they weren't considered wrestlers, I believe. I don't know what they were called.
But were they idols?
I guess. I know they wrestled, like, they wrestled matches, but they weren't called wrestlers by the company. So they were, like, saying, like, this is their wrestling debut, like, as wrestlers. So I thought that was really cool. And I just really liked their, like, motivation to be, like, you know, we belong in a, like, a pure wrestling ring. I just really thought that was cool. And I just, I don't know. I really liked them. I'm, like, I've fallen in love with all the former Actress Girls on the show. I think they're all so sick. And, which one is, there's a high, Natsumi. She was a really cool high-speed wrestler, and I just enjoyed watching her go back and forth. She was so fast and so interesting to watch, and I think she will definitely be probably in the title picture for the high-speed belt they have. I forgot the name of it, but that one, I think she'll definitely be challenging for that soon. And I really like the team of Amari Koki and Chika. I thought they were so cool. I just liked the visual of them together. They're so cool. That's all I can say about them. They're so cool. And Natsumi Shozuki, she was also sick. I love her. So yeah, I was just really impressed by this match and by all the wrestlers in it.
Yeah, these middle matches, right? We get like, here's four people, you know, four people, a 12-minute match. Nobody specifically gets a big chance to stand out, but it's kind of just like a teaser. It's like, here's some looks, a little bit of moves, a little bit of this and that, to get you excited to see, like, well, I want to see more from this person. I want to see her in a singles match now. I want to see her do things. And also, we're curious, again, because it's the very first show, we have no way of knowing what is just for this show or what is setting something up for later on. Are any of these four tag teams in these two matches here, are any of them going to team up again in the future? Are they like going to be friends? Are they going to be tag teams? We got tag titles coming, so we're going to need tag teams. Are any of these going to be permanent relationships, or is this just two people teaming up for this show and we got to work towards more permanent teams later on?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I think with their version of the speed title, I think Misa could possibly be going for that. I mean, right off the bat, she very much looked like a high-speed champion. So, I don't know. I hope that it isn't just all tag wrestling. I know Stardom it's so tag team heavy or triple heavy, and that's okay. But I would really like to see a mixture. I think it's pretty clear who's going to go for the two top belts now after this show, but with the other two belts, I think it's great. Like Adriana said, I think it's Chika and MRI who made their official pro wrestling debut. The other two have. And I don't know what they call it, but it's basically a theatric-centric thing. They're essentially actors. So it's really cool that they come in here and they say, now we're pro wrestlers. I think that's really awesome. Natsumi, I think, will become a pillar of Marigold just based on the fact that she's a veteran. She can work with just about anybody. She paired with Misa very well. They had perfect teamwork. I consider this very much like a potential match. Just sort of these women all have incredible potential. So I don't know that it'll be a tag team or not, but I don't know. I feel like Misa definitely though should be considered that in that flyweight title, I forgot what it was called, but that the speed title. I think all of these women have a potential to just not be a tag team, and I would say that across the board for this whole show.
Yes, the speed title is the super flyweight championship for the women who are the most super fly. And then our main event. We got it. It's another tag match, but this is a little different because we got Julia and Utami Hayashi. Never say Haya Shishida taking on Siri and Bozella. Now, one of these things is not like the other. I don't think I really need to run down the resumes of Julia or Tommy or Siri. If you're plugged into Joshi wrestling at all, if you're plugged into women's wrestling at all, you know their names. You know Julia and Tommy have been running Stardom for 4 or 5 years now. They've done it all. They've done everything there is to do. Julia is NXT bound, or WWE bound. We're assuming NXT. It's hard to say. But Julia is heading to WWE some point in the near future. Siri has been freelancing everywhere. She recently left WWE and is now back to full force instead of being hindered by some awkward stuff over there. And then we got Bozella, who feels, at the time when the match was announced, I was like, this feels so random. This other person being thrown in with three of the top wrestlers in all of Japan. Bozella is 20 years old. She's from Germany. She's been wrestling about 2 years. They didn't list anybody's weights on this show, but she's 5'11". And yeah, she just towers over everybody. So I was obviously watching her a lot in this one, because I'd never seen her before, and to see what she has, that they're putting her in this is a big spot for somebody who's only been wrestling for 2 years with these women. And she wasn't as fluid as some of them. There were definitely points where I saw her like getting into position more, or where maybe she was in the ring longer than, you know, the referee should have let her stay in the ring, things like that. But she didn't disappoint in what she was asked to do. Like she looked powerful. She overhead pressed Siri right over the top rope onto the other two at ringside. She had some good, strong, big moves, and it's clear that she's going to be a big threat in the company. I don't know. Right away, I assume she's going to end up like a Braun Strowman, you know, where it's like, or like a Big Show, where she like looks big and impressive, but she doesn't actually win that many important matches. It's hard to, let's talk about Bozella before we talk about the match, because I'm very curious to hear your thoughts as well, Kristen.
Yeah, this was absolutely random. And I'll be completely honest, I had no idea who Bozella was before this. Warren, my fiance, had said, oh, just watch Bozella. And I thought, who? And I mean, yeah, she's very, very green, very new. But man, did she, in my opinion, stand out. She's got this extreme strength that, like you said, is not something you see very often except for over here. But she also, she talked a lot of big game to Julia, which I thought was interesting. Julia's got such this big boss presence. I'm the boss, and I'm the star. And Bozella was just like, she just got in her face a lot. And anytime she would pull a move, she would kind of do a ha-ha to Julia. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know who and what happened that Bozella showed up on this card. That's really interesting. I'd love to hear more about it. Maybe one day one of us can interview her. She speaks English very well. So I don't know. I think that at the very least, I'm extremely interested to see what they do with her. If she continues on with Marigold, if it's sort of a one and done, I think it brings something that Stardom had to some extent, but not to this extent, the strength moves. I don't know. Maybe it's Rossi's way of trying to sneak in some different type of wrestling. But yeah, I mean, for somebody who've only wrestled like not even at 24 matches, I think she did really well. And she held her own in this match where it's probably the hardest to hold your own. I mean, talk about intimidating. She did pretty well.
I love Bozella. I didn't know who she was at all. Like, at least with, like, Zeta Steel, I was like, okay, I've seen her name, but Bozella, never seen her name at all. Like, where did they find this girl? And she's only 20, too, which I was like, that's crazy that she's only 20. But then I left the match going, I love Bozella, she's so sick. I didn't expect her to be as over as she was. Like, the crowd was chanting her name so much, and, like, she got, like, a chant after the match, too, and it was so funny. She went on the top rope to, like, to get the cheers. It's so funny. I just think she's so sick. It's interesting because she's not like, there's no one like her on the roster either. Like, as tall, well, there's one actress girl that's pretty tall, but Bozilla, she has like the strengths and the size and like the intimidation factor. So I think she's like this cool, scary monster figure for Marigold, and it'll be interesting to see how she does. I think she held her own pretty well for being 20 and for being in the main event of the first ever show of new promotion. It just kind of shows that I think they have a lot planned for her. I think, or like they have a lot of faith in her. I think, excited to see what she does.
Yeah, I'm looking over her cage match. I think this was her first match ever outside of Germany. Like, she's only wrestled in German independents. And, you know, like, companies like POW Armageddon and COW and Fight Back. Like, again, these are not promotions that I'm familiar with. I don't know what their women's wrestling divisions are like. I'm not that familiar with the Germany women's wrestling scene. I would love to be. If people have other matches from Bozilla, it's the past. To shout out, send them her way. But it's interesting because, yeah, she stands out visually, right? And the first reference point I can think of is Himeka, because she similarly just like, she walked in the scene and you're like, oh, who is this? She does not look like the other tiny little starving girlies. So even with this 20-year-old, we'll say rookie, in the mix here, I've already seen a lot of people calling this one potential match of the year, like a sign that Marigold has legs, that it's going to last, that, you know, they have a lot of talent here. And I think a lot of people were probably, well, I won't put words into anybody's mouths. Adriana, were you surprised what team won?
I really was, because I think, I don't know, people have this idea of Julia, so I was really surprised to see her take the pin, like, lose the match, but also take the pin. I was like, okay, but I think it showed to me that she is here to make the company good for when she leaves. She wants it to leave it in good hands, and I think her setting up her match with Saray in the future also brings eyes to the promotion, and I think she just really wants it to succeed. So, yeah, I think that's cool of her.
Kristen, what did you think of this one? And do we think this is leading to a Sari Julia singles match, maybe for the red belt?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, Julia and Sari were calling out each other way before this for a while. And I don't know, I see some people saying that maybe this will be a different side of Sari. Like, maybe we're going to get a heel Sari, which I think would be super interesting. I don't know that that would pull off, but it would be super cool to see it. This for me, yes. You know, at the end of the match, Julia called her out for a singles match. I don't think that there's anything else that could be more red belt than this. You know, and then Sari, can you keep up with me? And I think Adriana is right in that this could be something that's really establishing Sarai, at the top of the roster, because, I mean, who else other than Julia, right? And all this talk behind Julia and Marigold, and I think this is going to really establish who's top dog. And I think I'm surprised that Julia knew Tommy didn't win, but it makes sense when you look at the bigger picture.
Yeah, I saw some people as well who were speculating that Sari might lean heel going forward. I don't know if I saw much. Well, she was a little, I guess, dismissive of Julia in this match, or a little extra aggressive compared to how maybe we think of Sari usually. But I definitely don't hate the idea. And honestly, I really thought her and Bozilla were fun together, and the two of them as sort of a permanent duo, where Sari is like the skilled mat technician and Bozilla is like the big muscle, and maybe they, you know, maybe Sari goes after the red belt and both of them go after the tag titles at the same time. some of that. Like, I think the two of them together would be a lot of fun, and, you know, obviously would help Bozilla grow as a in ring as well.
I just want to throw this out that I thought was really funny. So Tommy did kind of sit back in this match, I find, not that she doesn't have a presence already, but I just wanted to say I thought it was hilarious that at the end of the match, Julia wants to be fired up and Tommy slaps her and it works. I think that's super funny. These two are not, they don't typically work together. This is not a pair that's super, they don't have super history or anything like that. So I thought it was really neat that at the end of the match, there seemed to be this built-in camaraderie. It was really funny.
Now, we have no insider information. Everybody involved is being very tight-lipped about this sort of thing. So this is pure speculation. When does Julia go to WWE? How long is she actually going to be here in Marigold for?
That's a good question I was thinking about earlier. Because it's like, do you put the main belt on her if she's going somewhere else? If she's going to WWE? Like, they had her on, like, TV on NXT. Like, she was in the crowd. So, like, you would assume that her debut is not that far. So it's like, do you put the title on her? Or do you just have her lose in, like a couple weeks, a month or something? I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Or maybe, like, they'll work with WWE somehow and she can, you know, I saw things where they could work together and she could just go back and forth, which I wouldn't mind if she did that, if that's what needs to be done.
We already have a Rossi Ogawa promotion that's, like, on Wrestle Universe and working with other promotions, and that's bizarre. WWE letting contracted WWE talent regularly go and wrestle other places would be brand new territory. But we are in a world of brand new territory where Vince is not involved and Triple H might be doing things differently. Back in the day, back, 30 years ago, Alundra Blaze was WWF Women's Champion, and she would occasionally go to Japan and defend the title at shows like the Big Egg Wrestling Universe and things like that. So there is a precedent to an extent of having, like, Marigold World Champion Julia wrestling on NXT, but then Blair Davenport. That's BPC's new name, I think.
She's not even on NXT anymore. That's funny. No, she's on SmackDown now. She got drafted like a week ago.
All right, against Roxanne Perez, our fave.
There you go.
So overall, good show, very promising. Like, the pick, honestly, there's 15 Joshi promotions in Japan. Every single one is just stacked top to bottom. Every single one, you can't watch a match and be like, oh, that wrestler's not very good. Like, they're all amazing. They all look cool as hell. But here's another one. Here's another, like, promotion that has a lot of steam behind it, that has a lot of attention. Clearly Rossi's got, like, a long track record with doing this. And he's put put the money to words, like the smoke and the flowers and the lights and those little things, which you love to see. So be very interesting to see where things go from here, because this was still overall just kind of a teaser of, like, here's some things that could lead to something. Here's some people that will be names to watch. But if you want to know if we're going to have factions, if you want to know who's going after which titles, if you want to know, like, how long Julia is going to be here for, no answers tonight. However, this Sunday, live on Wrestle Universe, it is Marigold opening wars in classic Stardom fashion. Two shows in one day. They got an afternoon show, and then a couple hours later, they got an evening show. Both of them streaming live on Wrestle Universe, and they've already announced their next really big show is July 13th at Ryogoku Sumo Hall. They're calling that one Summer Destiny. I'd have to imagine we crown at least one champion on that show.
But I know Saray and Julia are having a match. Is it going to be on that show? I know their singles match is set, but I forgot which date. I imagine it's for that show. Or maybe it's another one. I don't know.
Yeah, it's for the Summer Destiny one. The Summit Showdown of Destiny. I don't think it's a title, man. But yeah, that's a couple months away. That's crazy.
That's not a title match yet, but we got 2 months to get there. So that was Marigold, Fields Forever. Like we said, streaming still available on demand on Wrestle Universe, and you can get a free seven-day subscription from Wrestle Universe. All you gotta do is give them an email address. So worth checking out for sure. The main event at the very least, if not anything else. Kristen, where can people find you, support you, see all your hot takes on women's wrestling?
They're so hot. So primarily right now, Pro Wrestling Illustrated. So next issue, I have a very special column dedicated to one specific Joshi wrestler. Following that, I have a column, a pretty cool feature, and a very cool interview. So just keep checking back to PWI, official PWI on Twitter, or pwi-online.com. Get your print pre-orders or a digital copy right away. Big stuff coming.
Adriana, where can people find you, read what you do, support you?
Best way to see my stuff is follow my Twitter at Cosmic Adri _. And I have a link to my blog on there if you want to read any of my articles. And yeah, that's it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Kristen's been here so many times that she's basically a member of the team, but this is your very first time. We're very happy to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Whenever I see a Marigold, I will think of you two.
Oh,
so sweet. Wow. High honor there.
I don't know how many Marigolds I see out in the wild, though.